Morning, everybody, and welcome to the family service this morning. And quite a rough kind of day weather-wise, and we're very thankful that John Buchanan for Hopeman has managed to get down despite the wind and the rain, and especially after the bread milestone, I suppose, really can. But we're very thankful to be here, and we thank everybody for making the effort to come out on this last Sunday before Christmas Day. Tea will follow the service this morning, so as you're going out the back door, just go up the far end and you'll get tea and refreshments there in the back hall. Tomorrow night there's a children's meeting dress rehearsal for the Christmas Eve Nativity, which is on Christmas Eve, Tuesday night at 6:30. So if you're free, it would be great to see you come along to see the bairns singing. In fact, we've got three this morning. We've Georgie and Junior and Madison singing a couple of songs. So it's great to see you. It's a pity we didn't hear Mayor Burns. I think Ashley Mocky texted Christine this morning and wasn't feeling very well. So Sophia wouldn't be. But a trio is better than no children at all, which is great. And of course, we're all children, really, so we should really, when they are singing, there's no excuse, because the words will be up on the back wall and on here, so we can sing along with them. Now, as some of you will ken, we are, as a church, we're going to be reading through the book of Galatians, or 6 chapters in the book of Galatians. This is 36 daily devotional readings in the book of Galatians. The intention will be from the 1st of January through to the 5th of February. We'll be reading through these daily notes. So if you haven't got in and you want one, there's two here. And if we run out, I can order more. I think that's it in terms of meetings this week, because everything's kind of shutting down for Christmas, understandably. We were hoping to give Bibles to the Sandhaven Boys Brigade. As you can, their community hall has just recently had a roof repair, so they've been meeting in the back hall on a Friday night over the last sort of half year or so. But they're going back to their community hall in the new year, so we thought it'd be good to present Bibles to the 15 boys, and they couldn't manage a day, which we could have dovetailed it in, but we've rescheduled that for the Sunday the 12th of January, which is the second Sunday in the new year, and John Buchanan is actually preaching on that day too, so we look forward to that. And we thank John very much for, as I say, for coming down over the last year quite a few times, and we've been blessed by his ministry. Now, there is new rotas on the table in the vestibule. If you haven't got one, do pick one up. It also has a list of people who are coming to preach over the course of next year as well. God willing, next week the speaker will be Andrew Young, and there'll be communion next Sunday morning as well. So let's continue to pray for those that are laid aside and ill and can't get out. But again, we're very thankful to see you all here, and hopefully we'll see you on Christmas Eve night at 6:30 for the Nativity with lots more children, and a worthwhile get together with tea will follow that Nativity service as well. But if I didn't see you before or on Christmas Eve night, may the Lord bless you and have a great and happy Christmas and a good holiday for you all. I'll just hand over to John now. Thank you, John.
Well, thank you, Norman. Hi, everybody. Good to see you this morning. It's a wonderful opportunity to come to God's house and to be together and to celebrate his goodness and his kindness to us. You know, I was thankful this morning because at parts of the time coming down this morning, I was blown along. I didn't have to use any petrol at all, you know, and sometimes I had to sail along but we managed to get here just the same. So let's, as we come together this morning, give thanks to God for his goodness to us all, and then we'll get into our family service this morning. Family service, that means if you're under 105, you're welcome, okay? And John's going to treat you like a child this morning, okay? So welcome all my children to God's house this morning. Let's pray, okay? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love and for your goodness to us. We're finding this a stormy day, Lord, and it's wet and windy. But we're so thankful that we're found this morning inside your house. Where not only is it warm and comfortable, but we're warmed by your presence with us. Because we gather in Jesus' name, and you said when we did that, you would be with us in your house and come when we come together. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us this morning. Thank you for everyone here. And we think about those who can't come this morning, for whatever reason that might have been. Perhaps they're not well. Perhaps they've just been kept at home because of the weather. Wherever they are, Lord, we ask you to be kind to them and to bless them this morning. And may they know that we're thinking about them. And may they know something of your love and your presence with them today. Father, we look out in a world that's full of storms in different ways. Not only weather storms, but there's storms of violence and hurt. There's storms of hunger and thirst. And there's storms of war throughout our world today. And we want just this morning to think about those people and places today. And to ask for your blessing to rest upon them. Oh Lord, we think of those who were hurt in that terrible thing in Germany. We think of those who are struggling in the war in Ukraine and in Gaza and elsewhere, Lord. And there are many other conflicts and where there is hunger and thirst and famine. And we ask you, Lord, to move in a way that will bring relief and comfort to all these people. So, Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. And we ask you to help us as we sing together and praise your name as we gather together in our family service today. So bless us, not because we're asking really, but because we want to honor your name. And this we ask through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing together, everybody. And the words will be up there. And I want to hear you singing really loud this morning, okay? So don't hold back this Christmas time. It came upon a midnight clear. Thank you, Isabel.
Jesus.
Well, that was good. You're in good voice this morning. That was lovely. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everybody went to his own town to register. That's what God's word begins for us, the Christmas story. Now, we're keeping your seats this morning. Let's sing again and another carol this morning as we come together and worship God, the first Noel.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have the young people come up and sing a couple of songs for us now. And I'm looking forward to that. So you want to come up? You want to come up and sing? Yeah, come away. That's it. That's, here's young Christine coming. That's it. She's leading the way. You know, come on. No? Okay. All right.
Christmas.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. I was expecting to see all you guys doing the actions there, but you were just stuck in your seats. I've always got a good mind to sing it again and get you up to the front and do the actions, but maybe not. Maybe confuse Samuel at the back a little bit, but let me read a couple of verses more from Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We're going to sing together again, and if you feel able to stand, then please do. Otherwise, just keep your seats and sing through while shepherds watched their flocks by night. You know, when my children were little, one of the things that used to happen an awful lot in our house was they would watch the same movie again and again and again. And by the time it was finished, not only was I maybe trying to pull out my hair, but they could tell you the very script from beginning to end themselves. You know, their favorites movie at that time, the film that I loved to watch, was one called The Goonies. Now, The Goonies, Samuel will let you see, was a group of young children, just like us gathered here this morning. And they were trying to save their houses because there was a wicked developer who wanted to knock them all down and build something fancy and very expensive. Well, when these kids were trying to protect their homes, they found a treasure map. And it led them on a great journey to find a pirate ship. And not only did they find an old ancient pirate ship, they found all the treasure that was contained within that belonged to an old pirate called One-Eyed Willie. Anyway, these boys and the girls, they found this treasure. And they used that treasure in the story. And I tell you, it's only a story, okay? They used the treasure they found to save their homes from being knocked down. That's wonderful, isn't it? But you know, people today still go looking for treasure. Did you know that? There are people who go out and about and they go with their metal detectors and they go trying to find things that have been lost or buried in the sand at the beach or in the fields. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you were to walk along the beach there and find hidden treasure in Tiger Hill? A whole box full of gold coins. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be an amazing thing to find. Well, we're going to go on a treasure hunt this morning. All of us this morning. We're going to go on a big treasure hunt. But the treasure we're looking for is not just gold and silver and precious jewels like diamonds. This one is far more precious than anything that you could ever imagine. But before we go, we need a map. We need a treasure map. And I have one, and I was using it earlier. So let's find the instructions, will we? And here it is. It says, and there were shepherds out in the fields nearby. And they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths. Look, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Wow, that's special, isn't it? Well, I've got something here to help us to try and find out a bit more about this treasure. What do you think the treasure is? Anybody? Anybody under 100 can answer. What do you think the treasure is? Well, I never. Well, it's there in front of you. And it's in a manger. And it's wrapped in cloths. The baby Jesus, that's right. Well done, Margaret. You should get a star for that. Okay. But why do you think that is? Why do you think you could call a baby a treasure? How can this tiny baby boy bring us so much hope and joy? Well, the baby is Jesus. He's no ordinary baby. He's God's son. He's God who had come to earth to give us some very precious and valuable treasures. Treasures that we can keep. Treasures that will help us every day of our lives. Look, inside my treasure chest, I've got some of those things that might help us. But I might need somebody to help me. Georgie, would you like to help me? Let's see now. Maybe you could open this for me. Would you? And let everybody see what it is. Oh, go on. That's great. Or just rip it apart. Okay. Right. You excited? I am. Wow, look at that. You can hang that in your Christmas tree when you get home. Wow, a heart. And it tells me about love. It tells me about God's love. Because Christmas is all about love. It says in a treasure map that we read from earlier that God showed his love for us in sending his son Jesus that we might know and have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a wonderful thing to know God's love. It means he loves you and you and he loves me as well. Oh, it's an amazing treasure to have. That was the message that Jesus came from heaven with to tell us that our Heavenly Father says, I love you. Isn't that wonderful? He says it to each of us. But you know this? It goes beyond that. He didn't only come to tell us how much God loves us, but he came to show us how much he loved us. And this is what it says in his word. Real love is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Wow. That's an amazing treasure. That is real love. Isn't it just wonderful to know that? Oh, now, Erin, I need you to help me. Come on, Erin. You come and help me this morning. Maybe you could open this. Okay. You have been at and let us see what's inside there. Oh my goodness gracious me. It's a rubber. It's a rubber. You can't make any mistakes now. You can wipe them all out. Thank you. You can keep that. Isn't that an amazing thing? A rubber. Because that's one of the other treasures that God sent to us. Amazing. Isn't it? Because Jesus came so that we could be forgiven. So that we would know that our sins were wiped out and forgiven. Now, do you remember what we read and what we heard when we looked at our treasure map about what the angels said to the shepherds? Unto you this day is born a Savior. Now, what's a Savior? Somebody who rescues us. Somebody who comes to rescue. Why do we need a rescuer? Well, it's very, very simple. We need one because we've all rebelled against God. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. Even me. Maybe especially me. But the wonderful message of Christmas, the wonderful treasure of Christmas is that our Heavenly Father sent his Son to pay the price of our sins so that we didn't have to. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. But wait to hear this. God's free gift to you and to me is forgiveness. The wages of sin, says the Bible, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God offers us forgiveness because of what Jesus did for each one of us on the cross when he died. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And if we choose to put our trust in Jesus, it's as though God takes a great big rubber like Aaron's and rubs out all the wrong that we have ever done. Isn't that amazing? David, one of the characters in the Bible, the shepherd. Remember, he fought against Goliath, and then he became king. Well, he did a lot of nasty things in his life as well. And this is what he said and asked of God one day. He says, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. And soak away my sins. You'll find that in the Message in Psalm 51. God can remove all our sins. Only God. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. I will blot out your sins. I alone will do that. And here's the bonus. I will never think on them again. Wow, that's amazing. Isn't it? It's amazing to know. Now, who can I get to help me now? Right, we see. Oh, well, I've got a little parcel here for you. There you go. You open that and tell us what's inside there. Okay. Oh, this is really exciting. Oh, you bet you haven't got one of these in your tree. What did you see? Oh, the excitement is building. Oh, it's a dove. Oh, it's a dove. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, you hang that in your tree when you go home. Okay, and you'll be reminded, as I am, of the peace that we get from God. A dove's a sign of peace. Everybody knows that. It's a national symbol, a worldwide symbol for peace. A dove. And that's one of the treasures of Christmas. Because we can have our sins forgiven, we get an added bonus of peace with God. What I mean by that? Well, you see, the Bible describes us, because of our sinfulness, our wrongdoings and all the rest of it, as though we were at war with God. Or we were his enemies. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can know peace with God. That can be all forgiven. And we can be his friend. We can enter into a lovely, loving relationship with God. Our sins kept us from that. But because of what Jesus did, we're told that we can have that new life with him and that new relationship with God. Since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we enter into a very special relationship, knowing his love and his care. And you know, it goes beyond that for us. It honestly does. It's not only that we no longer fighting against God, but as we go through life, and this is maybe perhaps more relevant to us bigger folks, as we go through life, we can know God's peace in our heart in the midst of all our troubles, all our sadnesses, all our sorrows, all our difficulties. He says, tell me about them. Let me know. And the peace that I have, I'll give to you, that will protect your heart, that will protect your life. And so when you encounter bad things, you can know the peace of God. We get peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for our salvation. But we know his peace in our hearts as we trust him faithfully in our life together. Well, I wonder if there's any more treasures in here. James Smith, I think this might be a treasure for you. Yep, you. Yeah, young James. Okay, there we go. You can tell us what you find in there, James. Oh, this is really exciting. He got a big parcel. Eh? Wonder what this fourth treasure is. Oh, you hang on to them. Okay, a packet of seeds. Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I'm telling you. Oh, me. Here's the next, the fourth treasure that you get from Christmas. Okay? You listening? A really special one. It's eternal life. Eternal life. Wow. In God's word, he tells us this, that he showed his love for us in sending his son Jesus into the world so that we might have life eternal through him. What is eternal life? What does that mean? Well, Jesus said that eternal life was to know Him and to know God, to have that special relationship that we've mentioned with Him. And with Him, we would be able to live our lives beyond this time, right through into eternity. Eternal life is about having that special relationship with God, not simply for this time, but for all eternity, longer than you could ever imagine, time that never ends. And it also means, as we go through life, we don't even have to worry what happens at the end. We don't have to fear death any longer, because the Bible tells us and promises us that those who put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, asking Him to forgive their sins, they will be raised from the dead into God's eternal kingdom forever and ever. And that packet of seeds reminds me of that wonderful, wonderful promise. You know why? If Jim had to open that parcel just now and open up, you would see little things in his hand, all dried and wrinkly, as if they were dead. But when Jim takes them and plants them in his garden or into some compost, as time goes on and he looks after them with water and all the rest of it, they will come up into beautiful flowers that will bring great hope to all of us, because that's the promise of God's word. You know, they might look dead, but they will burst into life, and the flowers will be lovely, and Margaret will be delighted. And if he's lucky, and you're lucky, Jim might have new flowers for you in the coming year. You never know. You might be on the receiving end of something like that. Four wonderful treasures from Christmas for you. Stephen, love. Richard, forgiveness. Lewis, peace with God. Sarah, eternal life. But they're open to all of us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wonderful treasures that you could ever imagine that come to us from Christmas. We're going to sing another wee carol. I think we've got time to do this. We'll sing another carol together. It's one of my favorites. Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall. Now we're going to go back to our treasures from Christmas. And I think, Madison, you should come and open this parcel. Madison, I think this is a parcel for you to open for me. Wow! And if you get stuck, Didi will help you. No? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, well, well. That's a very special parcel. You going to get Didi to help you now? Okay. There you are. See what's in there. Oh, the excitement. See that? Oh. What do you think that is? Oh, my goodness. It's bubbles. Bubbles. Oh, I love bubbles. Wow, that's great. And bubbles are a sign of joy. They make you happy when you see your bubbles going. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what comes to us from Christmas, the joy of knowing Jesus as our Savior. What a wonderful thing that is, to know that He loves us and He came for us. He came for us. You know, we could never make our way to Him, not all the good things that we would ever do. That would never get us to Him. But God came to us in the person of Jesus. Now, that's something to be thankful and happy about. That surely brings great joy to know that you don't need to do anything. He's done it all for us, each and every one. He brings joy into our heart, and it bubbles up within us. That's what Jesus told us when He spoke to the woman at the well. If you know your Bible, you'll know that story well. And He said that that new life that He gives us will bubble up within us and flow out to everybody round about us. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord as your Savior. There's a verse in the Bible that says, happy, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. When you look out at our congregation, you sometimes wonder, you know, because there's hardly a happy face, you know. But happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. And Jesus said that He'd come so that our joy would be complete. And He tells us so many other things in His Bible, in His Word, in the Bible, about how to live life and all the good things to help us, just so that we might know His joy and be filled with His joy. And there's a verse in the Old Testament that says this, and this is what will encourage you when you think about this really, folks. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hey, isn't that a wonderful treasure from Christmas, to know joy? Now, we're nearly at the end, folks. Don't worry. Alexander, I've got one for you, I think. I think I've got one for you, Alexander. Come away, Maloon. Here you go. I just thought these folks needed these things. Don't worry about it. I've got something for everybody. Okay. Alexander. Whoa. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh! He's got something that the Energizer buddy bought him, eh? Eh? He'll be going the whole day along with that, eh? Isn't that wonderful? My goodness, he's got a battery. Okay. Wow. You know, the Bible tells us that God, Jesus, before He left to go back to heaven, He said that He would send His Spirit, and His Holy Spirit would come, and He would live within those who put their trust in Him. Wow. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit was like a battery that would give us the power and the energy to live our lives that are pleasing to God. Oh. Now, unlike the battery that I just gave to Alexander, when you know the Savior, that power will never run out. It'll never run out. It's always available to you to help you live a life. And you'll know that because He's with you always. The last words, or almost the last words that Jesus spoke, He said to His disciples, and He says, I will never leave you. I'm going to be with you right to the very end. And as we've discovered with some of the treasures, eternal life never ends. So He's going to be with us forever and ever and ever and ever. It's never going to end. And we're going to know His power in our lives when we trust in Him. Okay. Young man, I got one for you. I got one for you. All right, I didn't ever get you. Oh, you're going to like this. Oh, I'm telling you. It'll not do much for your hair, mind you, but you never know. Okay. Oh, look at this. Oh, come on. You can't just open that up. Oh, me. You got to. Look. Oh, wonderful. Eh? Eh? Thank you very much. Whoa! Oh, that's great stuff. A crown. Wow, that's beautiful. What a powerful presence we get from the treasures of Christmas. Love, forgiveness, peace, eternal life, joy, powerful presence. And the last one there, it reminds me of hope. Reminds me of hope. You know, hope's a funny thing, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and the best I could come up with this morning is this. Hope's not something that you get from other people. Hope's not something you get because you know everything. Hope comes to us because of the relationship that we would have with God. Jesus promised when he was here that he would come again and he would take us to be with himself. And when he comes back again, he's coming back as a king. He's going to come back as king over us all and over this whole world. And when that happens, there'll be no more war and strife. There'll be no more hunger. There'll be no more crying, no more sickness, and no more death. That's going to be a promise fulfilled. And that's what hope is, because he promises, what he promises, sorry, is what actually happens. His promises never, ever fail. What a treasure that we've found in Christmas this morning. I think that's truly amazing. You know, we look at the manger, we look at the Christmas tree, the stars and all the decorations that adorn our houses and all the rest of it. But Christmas is a reminder to us, surely. A reminder for whatever we hope for in our lives. Healing, forgiveness, or simply a fresh start. It's available to us through the baby born at Bethlehem. Emmanuel, that was his name. That was the title they gave him, Emmanuel. God with us, who offers to each one the treasures of his love, his forgiveness, peace with God and eternal life, the treasures of joy, the treasure of his presence, and the wonderful, bountiful treasure of hope. There are many distractions around today that will cloud our thinking about what Christmas is all about. Don't miss out on what Christmas really means. The kids sung it for you. Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't miss out on Christmas, the real, true message of Christmas. For today, in the town of David, is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God bless you. We're going to conclude our service this morning by singing again our final carol. Let me remind you that there's tea and refreshments through in the back. And also, as you go back through, there's a box for the adults and there's a box for the children, and you have to help yourself as you go through. Okay, let's sing together. No room, but make sure that you have room for Jesus this Christmas. And now may God grant to each and every one of us this morning the blessings of Christmas, the blessings of his love, his joy, his forgiveness, his hope, and his peace. And grant unto us, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life, to the praise and glory and honor of his name. For Jesus' sake, amen.